Let's tackle the ball, then score. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal. Let's tackle the ball, forget control. Kick it with your feet, then score a goal.
He's playing football, he's scoring first.
Score a goal, score a goal. I've got my feet in my football shoes. Kick it in the goal and we just can't lose.
Just score a goal, he scores.
Kick the ball with your scoring shoes. I'll score a goal and you do the same. We'll definitely win this football game.
He's shoot the ball, he scores.
Score a goal, we're scoring it.
Hello everybody, welcome along. This is the League Podcast from William Hill in association with the72.co.uk. The man from that website is Sam Ashu and he's on the line to have a look at three featured matches in League 2. You well, Sam?
Yes, I am well now. I'm more well than I was last week. thanks to a certain Kobe Arthur who helped my nap come in last week for Cheltenham against Hartlepool. So thanks, Mr. Arthur, for that.
Yeah, and I'm still in as bad a place as I was last week. Mine didn't land. We're going to look at Luton, Plymouth, Burton, Portsmouth and Morecambe, Cheltenham. The first two of those are both on the TV because it's international weekend, of course. So League One, League Two, and of course the football, the non-league action gets some special treatment this week, and good it is as well. Let's start with Luton, first of all. Then this is live on the telly, 12:15. On Saturday, Luton are 6-5. The draw's 23-10, and Plymouth are 23-10 as well. Luton haven't won since the opening day when they went to Carlisle and won 1-0. They've since lost to Swindon in the Cup. They lost to Wimbledon in the league. They drew with Bury and Accrington, and then lost to Shrewsbury. So not particularly great. They're 18th with 5 points. Plymouth Argyle are 2 points better off than them. They their away form. They haven't done too well so far. They've lost the last two games, Cambridge and Bury. And the home form is what's got them those points that they have got, those 7 points, with a home win against Exeter, a draw against Stevenage, and a win against Southend. It's who wants to win this one, isn't it, Sam? It's a, it's not one that I would pick for the TV, but the TV camera's probably thinking, well, yeah, let's go and have a little trip to Kenilworth Road for old time's sake.
I think the last time I watched a TV game live at Kenilworth Road was Luton versus Liverpool. Absolutely crazy game.
Yeah, it was. Was that did Alonso score from the halfway line that one?
Yeah, Marlon Beresford was in goal for Luton. I think it was like 5-2 or something.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was crazy.
Brilliant game. And, you know, Kenilworth Road, it's a strange old stadium, but it makes for a good atmosphere. So whilst the away end might not, well, it certainly won't be full, you know, it should be a decent encounter, really. Luton are a bit of a strange one, aren't they? Because I think having come up from the conference, you know, so often we see the conference winners or promoted conference side come in to League Two and then take League Two by storm and then actually go up again. Fleetwood have done it, Crawley have done it in years gone by as well. So I think a lot of people just expected Luton to come in back into the Football League, sort of all guns blazing. And in hindsight, it's easy to say, obviously, but I guess John still, looking at some of his quotes at the start of the season, played it down a little bit, and maybe he knew something that we didn't, just in the sense that promotion might be a step too far this season. And at this stage, 18th in the league, I'm sure that most Luton fans will just say, look, let's get mid-table, let's get a bit of consistency back in the Football League, and then maybe look at other years. Of going up. So, like you say, it's not been a great start for them. I think they'll be okay. They've got a good manager, a very experienced manager in Mr. Still, so they'll do okay there. And I do think there are worse teams in the division. And then we've got a Plymouth side who have got a slightly younger manager in John Sheridan, but he's sort of come out in the week and sort of come out firing, really, which bodes well for the match. He's come out saying that he's not going for the draw. He said that. He said, we're going to take the game to Luton. It won't be the same team as last Saturday. I can tell you that. Well, which is interesting, actually, because last Saturday they won. But it was the Saturday before against Bury where, by all accounts, their first 45 minutes was quite a poor performance. And what he actually did, he brought Ben Purrington, Lee Cox and Marvin Morgan on all in the space of about 5 minutes, or perhaps even a triple substitution all at once, just after the half-time mark. So he wasn't happy. And what he did do in that match, he went from four at the back to three central defenders at the back, which is interesting because he went for a bit of a sort of attacking force after that. And I think, looking at it, he may go for that again. They're away from home. He knows that the last few away results haven't been great and that something needs to change. So, for me, the Plymouth side are better than Luton. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to come out and something's going to be different. John Sheridan has put his finger on perhaps what the problems are. And I think they'll come out and do well here. And, of course, in Ruben Reid, they've possibly got the best striker in the division.
Well, he was actually going to be... I was really tempted to have him as my nap. I think he's way overpriced in this game. He's scored five in his last five in all competitions. I think he got a couple in the League Cup. It's 7-4 to score any time. I mean... It doesn't matter, you know, what happens in the game. He wouldn't be 7-4 at home, you know, if they were playing. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. He scored away at Bury in that 2-1 defeat that you mentioned. You know, I know he's obviously got a few of his goals at home, but I think 7-4 is a great price. But as it is, Manap is in League One, so I couldn't pick it. But I was very tempted to have Ruben Reid. So yeah, I think that's a really nice price. To be fair.
Yeah, no, personally, I mean, one of the things that I've written down actually is Ruben Reid to score and Plymouth to win at 5-1. Because I just think it's one of those where, look, if I'm asked to predict it, I think that if anyone's going to win, Plymouth are going to win. If I think Plymouth are going to win, do I think Ruben Reid's going to score? Yes, I certainly do. So 5-1, I think, is also decent value.
Yeah, that's one of the headline offers, isn't it, in this game? Because it's on TV.
Yeah.
There's headline offers associated with this. These are, if you're new to betting with William Hill, then just underneath the match betting, if you open up the game, you'll see headline offers. And basically, this is something that the traders will pick and enhance the price of. They haven't enhanced it, you know, massively, but it's the actual price of that is 19-5. So just under 4-1, so you get an extra points value. And what I always say to people is that they don't always land, but what the traders tend to do is that they'll pick the bet first and then put the price on it. So they're more likely to pick a bet that will attract, you know, your eyes, basically, and your money. So they're not going to pick a bet where it's, you know, an unlikely scorer to score the goal and a team to win. So, so what they do is they'll pick the best player to score and the team to win and then enhance the price for you. There's nothing not to like about it. And I think this is a 5-1 looks an absolute stonk. If you like Plymouth, as Sam does, then I think that 5-1 looks really nice. Should we move on to Burton versus Portsmouth, the other TV game? This one's on Sunday at 12:15. Burton are 7-5. The draw is 21-10. And Portsmouth are also priced at 21-10 as well. Burton are flying, aren't they? 13 points from their first five games, winning four of them and just drawing one. They scored seven, conceded three. As for Portsmouth, not doing too badly themselves either. They're at seventh position with 10 points from their five games so far. So all going very nicely. Burton, not only have they been playing exceptionally well in the league, they've also dumped Wigan out of the League Cup and Premier League QPR out of the League Cup. Not much to dislike about Burton so far. Can Portsmouth stop the run?
Well, I think what you've just mentioned is really important, that they have knocked out Wigan and QPR, both at home. We have QPR obviously in the Premier League, and then certainly one of the best sides in recent years in the Football League in Wigan. So they're not overawed at home by potentially bigger and better opposition. Portsmouth, you would think perhaps on paper, fit both those categories. But this is a very good Burton side. They actually remind me a little bit of Brentford, in the sense that a bit of disappointment last year, losing the playoff final to Fleetwood, of course, but perhaps overachievers last year as well. So did well to get to the playoff final and have now said to themselves, look, we overachieved a little bit last season, but we know that we can do it. You know, how can we be better, bigger and better? And I think that, okay, they've lost two good players in Marcus Holness and Billy Key, but there've been some really good performances. Gary Rowett's very determined this year. I think he's quietly confident, and they'll do well. They'll certainly be going for the automatic spots, don't get me wrong. And what's interesting about them as well, they've got goals coming from all over the pitch. John Messinio, who's an excellent signing for them, has scored. Stuart Bevan, who's also come from Preston, he scored as well. And then you've got Callum McFadzean, who's come from Sheffield United, who scored as well. So goals coming from all over, playing good football. I guess what is interesting is that every game that they've won, they've only won by one goal. So, I mean, you can take that as you want. You could say, OK, well, they're not battering teams. So, you know, it's not... There's the possibility that they're not going to win everything. But at the same time, you're saying, well, they've got the mentality to actually grind these victories out. And Gary Rowett has spoken of the determination of the team before. So it's certainly a big part in the way that Burton play.
It is, yeah. Would you just go straight for them and the win, Burton? I mean, 7-5, I'm not quite sure why they're 7-5 when they're the top of the league and they're beating everyone who comes before them.
I think what the traders are doing when it's a price like that, you look at Portsmouth and you say, look, they're going to bring a hefty following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are the bigger side, the better side on paper. It's going to be really close, and I wouldn't like to predict a winner on this one, just because I know that Burton haven't been thrashing teams left, right, and centre.
Yeah, yeah.
An interesting one for me is just looking at the statistics from some of the recent Portsmouth games, and again, take this how you will, but in the last six matches, Portsmouth's corner count, or certainly in the whole match that Portsmouth have played in, the corners have been between 10 and 12 corners in all of the six last matches, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what you can do on some of the League Two matches that coming up this weekend is you've got your treble, haven't you? Which is you can predict the team to win, as well as the amount of corners and the amount of cards in the game. So I'm sure you'll clear this up for me a little bit in that sense, won't you, Lee?
Yep, yep.
But what I would go for, perhaps, judging by that record, is myself, I would go for a draw. I would then look at the corner count that Portsmouth have had and go again with between 10 and 12 corners. And then you've got both teams who are fairly good on the disciplinary record. So I'd go with under 4 cards as well.
Yep.
And I think it's worth keeping an eye on that price because, I mean, I wouldn't like to sort of hazard a guess at what it is, but I think it'd be a fairly good price. And you only have to look at the stats and say, well, those three things could certainly happen. So,
yeah, definitely. Usually those markets are reserved for the TV games as well, so I'm sure that will pop up on the console. It's worth having a look at the... you'll find the corners betting in the scorers and corners tab, and usually when you're looking for that, it's kind of like a performance market, a stats market, if you like.
Yeah.
You'll find that in the either in the other markets or just at the bottom of the all markets there. Have a good scroll through and find that. But yeah, the fun bets to do. There's a few different ways of doing it. There's a 90 minutes, the corners and the cards treble. There's a goals, corners and cards treble. So you go under or over and what you know, the way Sam's just described it, or you can go a little bit less, you know, go for the doubles instead. But they're good fun. If you manage to get one going, you can get some really nice prices.
With a TV game, particularly if you're not a Burton or a Portsmouth fan, you know, it gives you a bit of interest in the game, and you know, you've got three different things to choose from as well. So like you say, it's a bit of fun, and I like to do it, especially if you can get a decent price, get a couple of quid on it.
Just to back that up as well, I mean, I've just been looking at the Burton's home games. Burton versus QPR. QPR only had 2 corners in that match, which is very low, but Burton had 7. So you know, they like to get forward and you know, use a bit of width as well against Exeter. It was 8 corners to 3 in Burton's favour, so 11. It would have landed in that match for Burton at home. Against Dagenham and Redbridge, again, it was Dagenham and Redbridge who really let the side down. They only had 2 corners, but Burton had 5. So again, you know, that's decent if you're looking at getting up towards the 10 to 12. And in the game against Wigan, there were 11 corners. So yeah, I mean, it's landed in 2 of Burton's home games, and they did everything they could to make it land as well. So yeah, could have. I think that's got legs, that one.
Whilst we're on the treble as well, Lee, for that one, if you want to look at the cards as well, the reason why I say both teams' disciplinary record is fairly decent. They average about a card a game,
right, yeah,
both teams. So,
decent.
I mean, the under 4 cards looks... I mean, it might be worth checking out who the referee is for that match if you really want to look into it. But I can't see there being more than 4 cards in that match, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I don't think on this system at the minute it hasn't been announced as yet, but I'll try and find that out before we finish finish the podcast. The last game that we're going to look at is a real cracker. I mean, I'm not sure why this one isn't on TV. Maybe they didn't fancy going to Morecambe. But it's Morecambe versus Cheltenham, third versus second. 12 points for Morecambe, 13 for Cheltenham so far. And both teams going along very nicely indeed. A couple of stats surrounding this match. Interesting one from Paul Mullen. Scored 3 goals from just 4 shots on target so far this season, which is some going for Morecambe. I mean, they've scored some goals, to be fair, but that's a hell of a ratio of shots to goals. And also another nice little one. The Robins have kept 3 clean sheets this season already, and that's a league high so far. It's kind of like something's got to give, isn't it, Sam? Because Cheltenham have been... They let in 2 at Tranmere, 1-3-2, but they drew 0-0 against Carlisle at home. They beat Hartlepool 1-0, beat Oxford by a goal to nil. Morecambe, you know, their away form, scored 3 at Fleetwood, 1 at Tranmere, 2 at Cambridge. It's like something's got to give here. What do you think will happen?
It's another really tough one to predict. Like you say, this could easily be a TV match. I guess maybe the only reason why it's not is because, you know, the TV games are picked a little bit in advance, and you know, maybe the editors didn't, you know, foresee either of these two teams doing particularly well this season, and you'd be forgiven for not doing, really. Jim Bentley's kept on to a lot of his players from last season. They've had an exceptional start to the season. He's just picked up the Manager of the Month award today, by the way. And you know, like you say, they're scoring goals from everywhere, from midfield in Mullen and Kevin Ellison sort of playing in between that sort of midfield and attacking role. So it's going to be a tough one to predict. And then Cheltenham, of course, have been under the radar almost all season. Every game you could have had a bet on Cheltenham. I would say you were getting value on them. Part of the reason why they were my nap last week, and then I also tipped them up to win both halves against Oxford in the Johnston's Paint Trophy on Tuesday, to which Kobe Arthur scored in the second half, and he's one I'd like to come on to, because having not started a game for them in the league all season, he's now come on. He came on 3 times in the league, and he scored every time that he came on. Most notably in the match that he came on when they were 2-0 down to Tranmere. He came on when they were 2-1 down and completely changed the game. If it wasn't for him, a goal and an assist, they wouldn't have beaten Tranmere that day. And then, of course, he started on Tuesday night and scored. So I've got a feeling that he will be starting. I think he'll be very hard done by if he doesn't start for Cheltenham. So Kobe Arthur, any time at 2-1, looking at his recent goal record and the amount of minutes that he's been on the pitch, because I would go as far to say that no one has got a better record than Kobe Arthur in the Football League at the moment, perhaps even English football, than minutes to, you know, minutes to goals ratio. So 2-1 any time on Kobe Arthur. I think he'll start against Morecambe, and I think that's a very good price. Otherwise, another interesting one is that in the 10 goals that Morecambe have scored, which is, you know, by no means a mean feat so far at this stage in the season, only one of the goals has come before the half an hour mark. So whilst they're a team that do like to score goals, you know, they're not a team that sort of come flying out the traps. So that could be an interesting one. Seven of 10 of their goals have been in the second half. So you've got the other 3 that are in between the half an hour and 45-minute mark. Whereas Cheltenham haven't scored a goal in the first half an hour all season. And 5 of their 7 league goals have been in the second half. So this may well be a sort of second half entertainer, if you like. Don't worry if you see it 0-0 after a half an hour or so between these two, because they just don't like scoring in the first half an hour.
Yeah, no, that looks decent. I've unearthed the referee for Burton Portsmouth, by the way.
Oh yeah,
and I bring good news. Oliver Langford is the ref. He's refereed 3 matches so far this season: Gillingham, Newcastle, Derby, Fulham, and Luton Wimbledon. Do you know how many cards he's given out in 3 games?
Two.
Right. Wow. And they were both in the Luton Wimbledon game. The last game of last season. And actually, I tell you, he's refereed four games. He refereed Millwall Leeds as well. Not a single card in that either.
Wow, he did
give five and a red in Burton's home game against the Southend in the last game of last season.
We won't mention that.
Let's talk about he's turned over a new leaf. Yeah. He's keeping his card. It was the end of a long season. He just wanted to finish the season on a high, dishing some cards. Two yellow cards in four matches this season so far. I mean, and you know, you'd think Millwall Leeds would be fairly tasty. Luton Wimbledon, you know, that's decent. So
you have to look at the players in Luton Wimbledon. We had McNulty and Akin Fenwer, who are two of the biggest brutes in football league as well. So he had those guys to manage, and they squared up to each other as well.
And to be fair, in that match, when those two yellow cards were given, they weren't given until the 72nd and 82nd minutes as well. So you know the game had gone for a long old time before
That looks fairly nailed on then.
It looks good. I like that. It's a very good stats bet. That's what I like.
I'll just quickly put in, because I was talking about the Morecambe-Cheltenham game.
Yes.
And the craziness of the second half goals compared to the first half an hour or so. I do fancy Morecambe to win this one. I think they're just the manner in which they've won so far, compared perhaps with the manner in which Cheltenham have won, just suggests to me that the performances have perhaps been a little bit better from Morecambe.
Yeah.
So I'll go with them. What I do like is Morecambe to score first, but the first goal to be after 31 minutes at 3-1.
Yeah, nice.
I like that. Just because I'll quickly run through again, only one of Morecambe's 10 goals have come before the half an hour mark.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do like that one a lot.
Decent, yeah, like that. Very good, thanks, Sam. Perfect. Three games done and lots of bets contained within there. Sam Ashur, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, from the72.co.uk. I have been listening to you, Sam, but I must admit that I did find myself going through the August Goal of the Month videos that Daniel Gadsden's put on your website. So that's brilliant, that. I love that. You can flick through all the goals of the month on the72.co.uk if you click on the relevant division.
You can vote as well at the end.
I know, it's good. I got a bit carried away, then I remembered I had to go and find the referee of the Burton game while you were chatting.
Well, I think Conor Hourihan is leading with his screamer at the moment. So Giles Coke and Jose Baxter not far behind, and Tom Kearney as well. So some really good goals from August.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. It's great the way that you've put that on there with the YouTube videos and everything. So very nice indeed. Yeah, go check out the72.co.uk. You'll find this podcast on there and the League One version. No Championship this weekend because of the international matches. But we'll catch up again next week, Sam. And if anyone wants to listen to you on In Play Radio, you'll also be appearing on Sunday with some live coverage of the Burton-Portsmouth game, I believe.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I'll providing that price comes up that we spoke about, the treble, I'll certainly
be
on
guiding it through. Yeah,
it's a bit of fun.
Yeah,
so if you want to listen to that.
Yeah, it'll be good that. If you want to listen to an in-play betting commentary on that game with Sam, then it's www.inplayradio.co.uk, on air from 12 on Sunday. Thanks, Sam.
Not a problem.
You can download the podcast, as I said, at the72.co.uk. It's available at williamhill.com/podcasts. Also on Audioboo, and you can subscribe via iTunes. If you haven't a bet on any of the League 2 action this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.